Good morning and welcome back to week two of our series, Rediscover Christmas. This morning we're going to be talking about finding peace in our storms. Now, this Christmas season is different for all of us. Some of us take it very, very seriously. Others take it much less seriously. And still others are more like Scrooge. But I won't tell you what category I fit in, but in Finland, they take Christmas very, very seriously, especially in the town of Turku. And they have a tradition that goes back some 700 or so years. It started sometime in the 1300s, and it's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. You see, they take the peace of Christmas very, very seriously. And so at noon on Christmas Eve, in the town square, an announcement is made, a declaration of Christmas peace. Now, back in the days, everybody came to the town square to watch that. Nowadays, it's put on the TV and the radio and even live streamed, much like we're doing to you right now. But it's important and it's taken very seriously. And the declaration serves to remind the people to keep peace and harmony on Christmas Day. And it reads like this, and I'm going to read it to you directly from here, which says, "Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas to all by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city." It's amazing. If you don't keep the peace and harmony on Christmas Day, you will be charged. And you won't only be charged and get a cumulative sentence, a concurrent sentence. You will get a sentence for each crime individually, and you will have a sentence that piles up on top of one another. See, they take Christmas and the peace of Christmas very seriously. And I want you this year to understand the peace Christ gives us and take it very seriously. Now, we're going to look at the story, and if you've got your finger there in Luke, you can put your finger there in Luke chapter 2. If you're using the YouVersion app and you haven't opened it, you can open it now and read along with me. But as we get to Luke chapter 2, we see a number of things, and the first thing we see is that the shepherd's peace is restored. And the shepherds are the ones who receive the angel of the Lord, and we'll get into more of that in a minute. But they're very unlikely recipients of this. And I want you to understand that first. They're very unlikely recipients of God's peace even because of their lowly stature. But as we get into the story, we're going to look at the account, and I just want you to understand who the shepherds were. But that in this, God was bringing peace to the shepherds. Now, you may recognize this passage in Luke chapter 2, because many of us, some of you are too young and maybe never seen this, but many of us have seen a Charlie Brown Christmas. I don't even know if they play it anymore on TV, but I think they do. I haven't seen it for a few years. But this is the account that Linus recites. And at the end of reciting it, he says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." So if you kind of recognize it as we go through it, maybe that's where you're recognizing it from. Who knows? But let's read it, starting in verse 8. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to you. Great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Now, I'm sure Linus did a much better job than I did as I fumbled over that a little bit. And of course, that version is a little different. I use the NLT for a couple of reasons. It's the version I read most often. It's the version I like to preach from. But I also like the comment where it talks about the armies of heaven. You have to understand that the shepherds were just out doing their jobs. They were on the hillside, minding their flocks, guarding them, making sure no one was coming to steal them at night. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, an angel appears to them and begins to tell them about the birth of the Messiah. It also says the glory of God surrounded them. They could feel the presence of God as this angel spoke. And then bang, this vast army of heaven appears and begins to praise God. Imagine what that must have been like. Again, it says they were terrified. And at first, imagine an angel appears to you out of nowhere and starts speaking to you. That would be a little bit scary probably for most of us, especially when it's something we're not expecting. I don't know what it sounded like. I don't know if it was just this loud, billowing proclamation, or whether it was a proclamation that only the shepherds could hear. We're not sure. It doesn't say. But imagine that sound. Says the angels were praising God. We don't know if they were just speaking or singing or some combination. But imagine with me what that would be like. I don't think our TV special effects that we do today, our movie special effects, could even begin to show what that scene was really like for those shepherds. Now, I want you to notice here as well, I said it earlier, the shepherds were just normal, everyday people. They were actually one of the lowest classes you could be in Jewish society. And yet, God chose to come to them and announce the birth of his son. God chose to send the angels to these lowly shepherds announcing the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the greatest baby in the history of the world. And he chose to announce that to these shepherds, the low class, the humble. Shepherds didn't have anything to be proud of. They were scorned in a lot of ways. But yet, that's who God chose to come to. He didn't come to the rich and the famous, the VIPs, the Roman leaders, the religious leaders of the day. He came to shepherds. I think there's something we can catch in that God uses the humble. God comes to the humble. Let's look. Shepherds, the patriarchs of Israel, the founding fathers, to use a more modern term, were shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. David, the greatest king in the history of Israel, a lowly shepherd boy, the youngest in his family, a shepherd, yet made king by God. Mary, a peasant girl. Joseph, a simple carpenter, would be the earthly father to Jesus. Mary, his mother. And Jesus himself was humble and was a carpenter. But God used all of these people in the greatest story ever told. The story of Christ. The story of his birth and everything that comes after that. So I want you to understand that today. God brought peace to the shepherds and through the shepherds in some ways. But I also want you to understand today that peace comes in the midst of your storms. I don't know what they are today. This is a little different Christmas for most of us. I'm not sure what your storms are, but I'll get back to that. But I'm sure all of us have seen at some point on the news, no matter what channel it is, coverage of a hurricane. I've been in a hurricane, just in the caught the tail end of it when I was younger. They're not fun. But when we look, and I don't know if you've ever, like if you've seen the coverage, you see the news reporter from, I don't know, ABC News, just to pick something. And he's all hunkered down, and he's got himself planted, and his hair's blowing everywhere. They always get a guy with long hair, longer hair for some reason, I guess, so you can see it blow. Longer than mine. Mine wouldn't blow anywhere. And his coat's flapping, and the hood's going one way, and, you know, you can see him trying, and the trees are swaying. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be right in the middle of that storm. And then you'll often see as the storm goes on, you'll see a time where he's standing there and he's just calm and there's no wind blowing and nothing's happening because he's in the eye of the storm. And then the next report you see, boom, it's a storm again. And now instead of the trees blowing this way and his coat blowing this way, they're blowing this way because the backside of the storm has now hit. And life is like that. Christmas is like that for a lot of us. It's a storm. It's a whirlwind going on around us. And then we might get a calm moment. And then the whirlwind all starts all over again. Now this year, again, might be different from any of us. We don't have that whirlwind of busyness. But in the midst of COVID and everything else that's going on, there's different storms in our lives this year. For some of us, that may be the storm of, I don't know how I can afford Christmas presents because I didn't work when COVID first hit, or I'm not working now. For others, that may be the storm of I can't see family. For many of us, we only see family at Christmas, if you live far away or whatever. For others, it may just be the fact that we're locked in our houses and that's depressing. I'm not sure what the storm is that you're going through this Christmas. But understand, in the midst of that storm, God brings peace. He brings peace in the middle of our storms. You see, God appeared, Jesus appeared, came into history in the midst of a storm for Israel. He came to his people in the midst of a storm of Roman oppression and Roman rule and religious oppression in a lot of ways and religious rule over them that was oppressive. And yet in that moment, Jesus chooses to come into the world. When people were wondering, where is God? We've been waiting for this Messiah for hundreds of years, thousands of years. Where is he? Look, we're stuck. We've got this happening and that. That's where God chose to come into the world, to send his son. Even for Mary and Joseph, this was an upside down time. She's very pregnant. They're already being scorned because no one really understands when they say this is the Son of God and I'm still a virgin in Mary's sake. And Joseph, why are you marrying this woman? She's been unfaithful. Or the two of you broke the law. And in the midst of that, and in the midst of having to travel by foot from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, the baby comes into the world. You see, in the middle of the storm, Jesus can bring you peace and will bring you peace. Now you might say, that's great, Pastor, that's nice to say, but you don't understand. You don't know how much what I'm going through hurts right now. And I'm going to say, I don't. I only know the things inside me that are hurts right now. I don't know, but understand this, God knows. Jesus knows. And he will bring you a peace that's deeper than what you or I can understand in our own human understanding. His peace defies our circumstances. In the face of everything you're going through, understand this today if you get nothing else. Jesus, the peace of Christ, defies your circumstances, defies my circumstances. The peace of God brings healing. It heals our hearts, it heals our minds. Maybe your circumstance is sickness, He's a healing God. He can heal our bodies. And then when we understand that His peace defies our circumstances, He can heal our hearts. He can bring us comfort, the comfort we need. It will guard our hearts from turning away from Him. It'll protect your mind from the anxieties and the stresses of life. I hear all the time that anxiety disorder is just multiplying right now in the midst of COVID and everything else. Understand this, the peace of Christ is greater than your anxieties. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4, and it says this. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Be encouraged today that no matter what you're facing, you can turn to God. The scripture encourages us to turn to God, to take it to Him in prayer. Bring your hurts, bring your pains, bring your suffering, bring your doubts, and lay them at the feet of Jesus today. Tell Him. He knows anyways. Oftentimes we get into this, we don't want to say anything. God knows what we're going through. So why not tell Him? And then listen to Him and allow Him to answer. And as we do that, our lives will be transformed. We need to understand He's got this. He's got you in His hands. He's got me in His hands. He's got this. Then we need to understand that peace is a person. Peace isn't a thing. Peace is a person. Because true peace only comes in Jesus and from Jesus. Jesus is peace. We often say God is love, and that is very true. I want to say to you today, Jesus is peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 puts it this way. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jew and Gentile into one people. When his own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Christ brings peace. But beyond that, if I go back into this in the NIV version, it says this, for He Himself is our peace. The only peace you and I can have with God and then with one another is found in Jesus. The prophets called Him the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 say this. This is prior to Jesus' birth. This is way prior to Jesus' birth. It says this prophetically about Him. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of His ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Now, yes, there are political implications to this. There are allusions to Christ's, or references, a better word, to Christ's finished work after His return to finally defeat the enemy for all eternity. So there is those political implications. There are these future references. But the most important thing I want you to see today is this child that is born, this son that is given to us, he has the power to bring peace into your personal life, into my personal life. He has the ability to bring peace into your family situation because he came to bring peace to you and I as individuals. He's the bringer of peace between us and God. He brings you peace with God if you just accept him. He brings me peace with God because I've accepted him. Any of us who have invited Christ into our lives are at peace with God because of Jesus. Because he's the giver of life. He was the sacrificial lamb that was given when he died on the cross. Jesus is the God who has come to be with us. He offers us an invitation this Christmas season and always. We have to understand, Jesus came to bring you and I peace with God. And he invites us to that today, tomorrow, and every day. All we have to do is accept him into our lives, and we'll be brought peace with God. We'll be brought, our relationship with God will be restored. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30 says this. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." What an invitation that is. Just come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will bring you peace because of what I did on the cross. Jesus is inviting you to come to him, to lay your troubles at his feet, and to trust him and to accept his peace. For some of you, many of you watching today, you've probably already done this, but I encourage you, even at this Christmas season, to begin to bring your burdens once again and lay them at his feet. For some of you, you may have never done this. And you're saying today, "Pastor, I need this Jesus. I need this in my life. I need him in my life." Well, we want to help you with that. What we'd ask you to do is, it's very simple. It's a prayer asking God to come in and forgive you and be in your life and then telling him your burdens. But we want to help you through that process. So today, if you're watching this, wherever you're watching this, you can just pull out your phone and text to 416-267-1189. That's the church number. Just text the word love, and it'll start a quick conversation with you that where we can lead you through this process, and then we'll follow up as well. So if you need Jesus in your life today, you need to accept him for the first time, please do that so we can help you with that. But let me encourage you today that the Prince of Peace is with you. Even when the wind blows, when the storm is raging, he is with you. Let me encourage you to take time to worship him, even in the midst of everything that's going on. Whether you're on the mountaintop right now or in the lowest valley, whether you're in the calm of the eye of the storm or you're in the midst of the storm, take time to worship him. Take time to pray to him. Take time to talk to him. And let me remind you today, as you come to him, he is there with you because he is here. Because he is with you right now, wherever you're watching this. And his peace is with us. So what I'm going to say today as I conclude is, find your peace in Jesus Christ. He is peace. And he's the only place you're going to find true peace.